We've been in this series called Faith Walkers and looking at Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to take a look at Gideon. Hebrews 11:32, it says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon," and then he mentions some other names in that verse. And so today we're going to take a look at the story of Gideon and how the Lord used him to help the nation of Israel. So let me pray for us as we dive in here this morning. God, thank you for the opportunity for us to gather together as your church. I pray you strengthen the believer in the room. I pray the lost person in the room puts their faith and trust in you. And Lord, I pray that as we study this passage, we would understand what it looks like to know and to live out your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The story of Gideon is found in Judges chapter 6 through 8, fairly short narrative. So we won't study the whole thing, but we'll just take a look at chapter 6 here this morning. When the word of God is absent, there is imprisonment of sin. I recall one of the lowest seasons in my life to date. I say to date because you never know what may happen. I was 27 years old and I had a lot to learn, and I was a student pastor at a church in Texas. I was actually let go from that church. It was a very rough season of life. My boss and the leaders expressed to me that it wasn't going to work out. I wasn't a good fit. I was accused of only caring for the students that were in our community and not within our church. I didn't focus enough on the students within the context of our church, and they wanted me to do better at that. I was told all you care about is reaching these middle schoolers who are far from the Lord, and we want you to do a better job here. I remember the fear, the insecurity, anger, rage, loneliness, and a whole list of other things that flooded into my mind. It was as if the security over the 15 years of being a follower of Jesus had kind of gone out the window all of a sudden and was replaced with all these thoughts. My confidence and the way I thought and how I viewed myself radically changed in the blink of an eye. Now you can imagine I had lots of questions. My wife was actually pregnant with our daughter, and a few weeks after I found this news out, they had a baby shower for us. That's awkward. We were building a home, actually, at the time. I remember leaving that meeting, going to the builder, and being like, "Hey, bro, please don't sue me. I cannot buy this house because, well, we worshiped at the same church at that time, and I'm not going to be here." So he was gracious, and I got out of the contract. I don't even remember signing a piece of paper, but somehow the Lord brought that about. The feelings of misunderstood and defeated, and I remember my father-in-law, I called him a lot. He's a pastor, same church, 35 years, and this is what he said to me: "If this keeps you out of ministry, your calling isn't very deep." I thought to myself, that's exactly what I need. And so my time here has ended, and there's opportunities that the Lord has to serve. And so looking back on that season of life, it was hard and difficult, but the Lord did exactly what he wanted, and I'm okay with it. And the Lord was doing a lot in me, and at the time, I could share dozens and dozens of things that I could have done better and should have done better, and insecurities and but the Lord, through his spirit and the authority of the word, slowly took away the unbiblical thinking and changed it with biblical truth in that season of my life, and that's what I needed. His pure word is what guided and directed me and all my insecurities and all the things that I was thinking, and to guide me back to biblical thinking. And we find Gideon in a season of life very similar. Like, he is in a hard position, a rough position, and so I feel like I can relate a little bit. It's funny, Pastor Andy, it was between his church in Iowa and this church in Texas, and when he was in Des Moines, Iowa, as the church plant, and he tells me to this day, "If you would have gone with us, it would have worked out better, but you decided to go to that church in Texas." And I was like, "Well, I'm here now, so it's all good." It took a minute, I guess, to get here. So when the word of the Lord is absent, there is imprisonment to sin. Judges 6, verse 1, we're going to go through here. I'm going to make a few observations. I don't have the time to make all the observations I would like. I would encourage you to study this passage this week with your families and in your quiet time if you're not studying anything in the scripture. Chapter 6, verse 1, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them in the hands of the Midianites. And there's this cycle in the book of Judges, if you're familiar. They're obedient, they follow the Lord and worship the Lord, and then they disobey, and God punishes them because of his love and care for them, and then they repent, and it's this cycle. And so we get to Judges 6, and they're still doing this. They were not faithful to the covenant. The people kept disobeying God. They were unfaithful and worshiped other gods instead of worshiping and serving the Lord himself. They kept living like the nations around them. And God said, don't do that. They kept going back to what they wanted and they believed what was best. And every single time it was wrong and it cost them greatly. God is punishing and disciplining his chosen people because of their sins, because he loves them. It's interesting, Genesis 25, a sinful decision was made for Abraham to have a second wife, and this people came from the descendants of his second wife. And so we see this generational sin that is continuing to still wreak havoc on the nation of Israel. This is what happens when we compromise the Word of God. This is an ideal scenario of what happens when we compromise the Word of God. They were disobedient, they ignored their relationship with God, and God gave them over, literally to bondage, even though he saved them from bondage. They quickly go right back into it. And God told them this is what happened, actually in Deuteronomy. If you don't obey me, this is what's gonna happen. And so decades before, the Lord said this is what's gonna happen, and now they're living in that present reality. They put themselves in bondage. Charles Spurgeon said, the Lord does not permit his children to sin successfully. God is not a permissive parent who allows his children to do as they please. For his ultimate purpose is that they might be conformed to the image of his son. God's desire is not that we live up to something that we are not, but to live out that which we already have in Christ. When the word of God is absent, there is imprisonment of sin. Verse 2, because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain cliffs, caves, and strongholds. The most important hot real estate at the time was nowhere where you'd want to live. Caves, hillside holes to hide away from the Midianites, strongholds and shelters. Can you imagine what that would be like? When the word of the Lord is absent, there's imprisonment of sin. Verse 3, when the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. This is a depressed place to be. If you've ever had the thought someone else has it worse, I think we found who the someone else was. Can you imagine when planting season came around, the conversations, man, I sure hope what we're planting now we're gonna be able to have when harvest time comes. And when it came, it was all taken away. Harvest time came again and the Midianites came as well, and they took everything. Food was sparse. Donkeys, the meat was gone. When the word of God is absent, there is imprisonment of sin. Verse 6, Midian so impoverished the Israelites, they cried out to the Lord for help. Now, I don't want you to see this as a cry of repentance, more as a cry of like, God, will you please, please, please help me? I'm in a bind. There's not a hint of repentance here, only a cry of pain and desire to have relief of the pain. Crying out to God for help is not the same as repenting of your sins. It is not the same as believing in Christ and following and obeying him. I've seen many cry out to God for help, and people line up by the thousands to do that. Verse 7, when the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet. So here's where Gideon comes on the scene. He sends them a prophet who said, this is what the Lord, The God of Israel says, I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He's reminding them of the truth that he's already told them. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. Verse 10, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amalekites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me. Help me, God, help me. They cry out. The situation they're in is really not the problem. Their issue, in fact, is that they have not listened to God. God, will you help? He will send a prophet, Gideon, to remind them of what the Lord has already told them. Why are you guys so miserable? It's the Midianites. It's them. That's why we're in this position. That's why life is so hard for 7 years. If those people wouldn't be here, we'd be doing great. And the Lord's like, no. You are wrong. You're the issue here. Your sinful disobedience. This is why God raised up a prophet. Too often people are looking for an answer outside of what the Lord has already stated to be true. As if new information or a new hack of life is going to be the answer to your problem. You can look for the answers to your problems, but what God says to be true and what he desires for us is what we need. The issue is disobedience. In order to walk in faith, you must be people who know the word of God and live out the truth of the word of God. Gideon reminds them of who God is, what he's done, and what the Lord has already spoken already. He didn't give them new information. God told us to worship him and not the other nations or gods around us. Gideon did not tell the people anything they did not already know. He told them the truth. And when the word of God is absent, there is imprisonment of sin. Verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak and belonged to Joash the Abizite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. So here's where Gideon comes on the scene. An angel of the Lord here, most scholars would say this is the pre-incarnate Christ himself. I think I would land in that camp as well. And so we find Midian in a wine press. Now, most of us probably, you know, this is not our culture. That's not what we do every day. And a wine press was like basically a plaster hole, and they would squeeze olives, and then, you know, you get your bucket and you'd fill up all of your oil. And so that's what you would do in an olive press, but he finds himself doing something else in there. So he's threshing wheat. So you'd be on a hillside throwing the wheat up, the chaff, the outer shell would fly off. Then your product would land on the ground and you put it in bags and you store it away. So you got grain and food and all that kind of stuff. But he's doing it in a hole in the ground. And he's doing it because he's fearful, because if the Midianites see him, they're gonna come up and take the little food that he has. So that's where we find Gideon, threshing wheat in a wine press. He's found hiding, actually. When the word of God is absent, there is imprisonment to sin. Verse 12, when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Well, this is interesting. He's threshing wheat in a wine press, and the Lord calls him a mighty warrior. So I was thinking to myself, what makes him a mighty warrior? It wasn't really his actions. I'm convinced it's the presence of God in his life. It's the presence of God in his life is what makes him a mighty warrior. He's hiding. He's called a mighty warrior. The presence of God is the one who shows up and bestows this upon him. It's the presence of God that changes us into a dead, sinful corpse that sins 100% of the time into a man or woman of God who can live in freedom as we pursue Christ. It's the presence of God that does that. Meaning we can obey God, trust God, have faith in God. Thanks be to God that as a follower of Jesus, that is who we are, that is our identity. When the word of God is absent, there is imprisonment to sin. Verse 13, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all these wonders and the signs that our ancestors told us about when they said, do not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midians. Gideon asked some questions here of the Lord, and It's as if there is little hope in Gideon's voice. Things are not going well, and when the word of God is ignored in our lives, hope becomes something of a distant past instead of a present reality. We used to be this. We used to have this. We used to see these things are phrases that we say. When the word of God is absent, there's imprisonment of sin. Verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands, and I am sending you." And Gideon says, "Pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel?" he says. "My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." We've heard this story throughout God's chosen people throughout the Old Testament. The Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midians, leaving none alive," it says. The Lord gives orders to Gideon, and he's fearful. "Lord, I'm here hiding. I'm weak. I'm a small man. I'm of a tribe that nobody knows, and I'm the least in my family." What makes Gideon useful, capable, and even able to be used by God? It's the presence of God in his life. As believers, we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, and the Spirit of God can empower us to do the work of God. We should have all the hope and trust in who God is, not in who we are or what we have to offer. When the word of God is absent, there's imprisonment to sin. Verse 17, Gideon replied, If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sight that it is really you talking to me," he says. "Please don't go away until I come back and bring an offering and set it before you." And the Lord says, I'll wait till you return. So now Gideon is not going to Hornbacher's just to grab something to go here. You know, like, it's going to take some time, all right? Soldering the animal, getting it ready and all those things, building a fire. And the Lord is gracious here with Gideon. When the word of God is absent, there is imprisonment of sin. Verse 19, Gideon went outside, prepared a young goat, it says, and from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast, putting the meat in a basket and broth in a pot, brought them out and offered them to him under the oak. The angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place that on this rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and unleavened bread with the tip of the staff that was in his hand, and fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "At last, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Please do not be afraid. You're not going to die." He was fearful that he was going to die because he saw the Lord. Gideon makes an offering. To be clear, he was desiring to worship the Lord. He brings it to the Lord. And we see that he's still fearful. And the Lord comforts him. When the word of God is absent, there is imprisonment of sin. Verse 24. So when Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it "The Lord is Peace." To this day it stands. In verse 25, that same night the Lord said to him, "Take the second bull from your father's herd and 1 7-year-old, tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole besides it." This is where we get to the thrust of the passage. The story of Gideon is not about Gideon. The story of Gideon is about the work of the Lord through Gideon. His father worshiped something else other than the Lord, it says. God is going to get to the heart of the misery of the people. They have been worshiping and living for Baal, false worship. And I don't really have the time to go into all the details of that, but just know this. They were doing what God told them not to do. They built idols. Their lives were to be based on the word of God. Instead, they built their lives off what they wanted instead. And it came at a great cost. When the word of God is absent, there is imprisonment of sin. Do you see this by now in this passage? Throughout history, God has raised up many like Gideon to bring us back to the truth, to remind us of the wickedness and to point us back to the word of God that needs to be lived out and obeyed. And throughout history, we keep running away from the very thing that is necessary for life, the word of God. I pray that the next generation does this better than us. I don't want the next generation to be better than us. I want them to be more biblical and God-honoring than us. I don't want the next generation to focus on building off of the things we have done. I want them to build their life off the Word of God. I don't want those who come after us to have to burn down idols to correct our unbiblical living. Don't you wish that upon even your own children and your grandchildren? Don't you wish this for our church even? God, help us kill sin in our lives. I pray the next generation does it way better than you and me. And if that is going to be the reality, then we better make sure that we know the Word of God and we pass on the Word of God to the next generation. We better spend more time on spiritual plans for ourselves, our families, our church, and less time on other things of this world. When the Word of God is absent, there is imprisonment of sin. More time and energy has been placed on the Word of God. More time and energy has to be placed on the Word of God and a whole lot less on the education needs of our kids. The desire we have for our kids when it comes to sports, when it comes to preparing for the job we hope that they will have one day, more time and energy must be given to what God says and less time to what we want. And we could mention millions of things. What is it that you want, and how is that keeping you from being obedient to what God desires for you to do? Andre asked me a question the other day. Hey, what would be your desire for, you know, he was talking specifically student ministry, and so I gave him an answer, and here's what I thought. And I've actually thought this my time, maybe last 10 years. My desire would be that we'd be the most godly and biblical student ministry that exists on the planet. And I don't say that because I'm somehow got it figured out. In my mind, I'm just thinking, I think we're just going to copy what the Word of God says because that we can get right. I don't have a whole lot to offer other than what the Scripture says. And I think that would even be my desire for our church. Like, what would God use us? But I pray that we're just not the cool people. I pray that we have high value for the Word of God, so much so that it drives and dictates what we do. And we're willing to set aside our personal preferences, no matter what they may be, for the sake of the authority of the Scripture dictating how we live our lives and what we do with our lives. When the Word of God is absent, there is imprisonment of sin. Looking at verse 26 here. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord, your God, on top of this height. Use the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down. Offer the second bull as a burnt offering. So he took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had told him, but he was afraid of his family and the townspeople, and so he did it at night. I'm intrigued here. He was timid, fearful. He did what the Lord asked. He was afraid of his family and the community. How sad is it when a child of God desires to obey the Word of God and they have to fear the so-called people of God? How sad is this? I feel for Gideon. A man of God obeying the Word of God in a hostile community. And we're talking about God's people here. We're not talking about like going to a tribal place that you like say Jesus and they kill you. That we're talking about so-called followers of the Lord. And we find Gideon obeying the Lord, but doing it in private. And I'm not sure if he should have done it public. I don't know. But part of me is like, man, I wish he would have had the security that he could do that. But because of the fear, he did it at night. When the Word of God is absent, there is imprisonment of sin. Verse 28. In the morning when the people of the town got up, there was Baal's altar demolished and the Asherah pole beside it cut down and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. And they asked each other, who did this? And when they carefully investigated, doesn't tell us how long it took them to figure this out, they were told Gideon's son did it. And church, it's hard as a pastor to kind of read this, if I'm being honest. Would God's people have more passion for sin than the truth of what the Word of God said? Now, I've made a leap, okay, here. I should have clarified. the Lord is speaking directly to Gideon and his people. For us today, we have the written word of God, so we don't need to wonder what he says or desires for us. It's here in the scripture. So I made a leap there, an assumption that you were on the same page. Forgive me. But when God's people have more passion for sin than the truth of the word of God is what I see here. That's scary to see, to read. When people are so offended by what has been done, they're willing to commit murder over something that's not even true, over a false God that they're mad that is now gone. They're mad. They're mad because the thing they wanted most is gone. In reality, the cause of their misery is this thing that which they want so bad. And I hope you're getting the point by now. When we do not hold the word of God closely, we find ourselves enslaved to sin. When the word of God is absent, there is imprisonment to sin. So let me give you some synonyms for imprisonment here. This was helpful for me as I was processing through here. We're talking about slavery to sin, enslavement, servitude, subjection, oppression, domination, exploitation, persecution, and captivity. This is what sin does in our lives. And we're talking about God's people. Authority belongs to God. Truth is what God is and what he gives to us in his word. Do not have more passion for your wrong thinking and your wrong sinful living or your wrong truth. Have passion for the truth of God's word. The word of God is true. So what authority reigns in your life? Who gets the last word in your home? When the word of God is absent, there is imprisonment to sin. Almost done here, church. Good thing I didn't do all three chapters. So, verse 30, the people of the town demanded Joash, Gideon's dad, bring out your son. He must die because he has broken down Baal's altar and cut down the Asherah pole besides it. Verse 31, but Joash replied to the hostile crowd around him. Are you going to plead Baal's cause? Are you trying to save him? Whoever fights for him shall be put to death by morning. If Baal really is a god, he can defend himself when somebody breaks down his altar. So Gideon's dad stands up for his son. The same dad who allowed this idol worship to take place sees the faith of his son. I'm sure he now realizes how sinful and disobedient he was. Not sure if he has a change of heart or if he just reminded the truth, but we find him seeing the faith of his son and now begins to turn back to the truth of the word of God. When the word of God is absent, there is imprisonment to sin. So how are you walking with the Lord now? Where is the word of God in your life? Where is the word of God in your house? What would it look like for you to have a spiritual plan for even your family? Call it your faith walker plan if you'd like. Take time this week to seek the Lord on what sins you need to kill in your own life. Ask the Lord to guide you so the word of God is present in your life. What can God do with the one who is willing to listen and obey? Gideon, when the Lord sought him, found him in a wine press, living by sight, and now he has turned and he is a man living by faith. And I was thinking, you know, how do I illustrate this just to help us understand this? And so every illustration breaks down to some extent. I'm very much aware of that, but I'm hoping this helps us just a little bit, just to give us an idea here what this looks like. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, the Lord looks at you and he sees perfection because of Christ, not because of you. When the Lord looks at you as a sinful person who is yet to put your faith and trust in Christ, he sees your sins. And so I was thinking, you know, like, how do I just get this across here? So just bear with me here for a moment. As followers of Jesus, this is what I see the nation of Israel actually doing right now. Like, they've got salvation, they've got the perfect word of God, and yet they revert back to their sinful ways. So the insecurity and worship that has brought about idolatry in their life. Like, that's what's taking place in them. And so I was thinking, like, okay, the context here, this is those who are following the Lord, they're being disobedient. And so how do we walk in obedience? So I'm trying to think of this a little bit. And so just imagine the ping pong balls here are just the sinful things of your life. As a follower of Jesus, you know, whatever that is, you know, if there's worship issues or pride or anger, whatever the sin is, let's imagine these ping pong balls here just represent the sins in your life. And for whatever reason, you have not been willing to by the power of the Lord, to kill those sins in your life. And so you're following the Lord, but there's all these sins in your life. And you're like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, how do I get rid of this? And I think as a follower of Jesus, the only way to rid these things of your life is one, to know that it's an issue. And that comes from the Word of God. And so it's the Word of God itself that is what is going to be necessary for you to rid these things. You're not going to be able to do them in and of yourself and on your own power and own ability. You need to saturate your life with the Word of God. And as you do that, the Lord will bring to light the things in your life that you need to get rid of. And it will require the Spirit of God, His work in your life. But you just focus on the Scripture. You just focus on obedience to Christ. You focus on that. You cannot save yourself. And over time, now some of us, we can get rid of some sins rather quickly because we're maybe being more obedient. For others, it may take longer. And the Scripture doesn't tell us that there's a time duration on getting rid of sins in our lives. Again, this isn't a salvation thing. This is you as a follower of Jesus, like saturating your life with the Word of God. Just saturate it with the Word of God. And then just watch the Lord do what He does. He just fills you. He guides you. He directs you. You don't have to wonder what's sin and what's not. You just keep focused on the Word of God. And this is what He'll do in your life. He'll get rid of these things in your life. Now, there is a tendency, church, I'm very much aware, that you'll try to pick them back up and stuff them back in your life. Right? And there'll be times where you will, and there's times in my life where I have, and I'm like, okay, God, my ways are better. My ways are a lot better. And you know, and you just kind of, you're shoving out, okay? There's less the Word of God in your life, and so there's more of you, which is bad, right? And then there'll be other times where you're like, oh, God, forgive me. Man, I'm being a turd. And you study the word, and you get involved in a life group, and other people are pointing out your sins, okay? Like, I think you get the point, right? And so my encouragement to you is you can't do this on your own. It is biblically impossible. If you're a believer in the room, you know this. But if you're not a believer in the room, I want you to know that if your life is represented by this container, your entire life is saturated in sin. And it's only through the blood of Christ that we'll be able to fill this and to rid you of the idols and sinful things in your life. And so, again, I know every illustration breaks down, but my heart and desire for us as a church is that the Word of God bleeds from us. So when the Word of God is absent, there is imprisonment to sin. But when the Word of God is present, there is abundant life. Let's pray. God, I pray for the believers in the room to be strengthened to live for You this week. And if you're in the room, if you yet to place your faith and trust in Christ, today is a really good day to do that. For you to say, I realize now that there's a God. I realize that God is holy and He has a standard of perfection. And God created you. He does love you. And He wants to use you. He wants you to be a part of His family. But you're sinful. You can't do this on your own. And so God's like, I'm not okay with that. So He sent Himself in we saw the pre-incarnate Christ this morning in Judges 6, but He sends Himself, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, to die on the cross in your place. And the scripture says, if you put your faith and trust in him, you will be saved. So the question I have for you, if you're in the room and you've yet to do that, are you ready to do that, to put your faith and trust in Christ? And do that right now. God, I believe in you. God, I understand that I'm sinful and I need you. God, would you save me? I put my faith and trust in you. And walk in obedience, and it will be the word of God that will help you figure out the rest. God, help us to value the scripture here more than our personal preferences. Thank you for your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.